Well, as we begin, I want to ask this question. Is there certain responses that when you hear them, they kind of get you worked up? All right, maybe certain phrases, they make you a little bit mad. You know, for teachers, maybe it's the phrase, "I forgot." My mom was a second grade teacher for like 30 plus years, and she hated that phrase from her students, "I forgot." You know, "I forgot this assignment," or "I forgot that." And so my brother and I knew in our house, you did not say that phrase. Maybe if you're a coach, it's, "I can't." Right, I've done a little bit of coaching over the years with one of my sons with some basketball. And when there's been some athletes say, "Coach, I can't do it," and they not even tried, that can really get you, all right? That can be a tough one to kind of swallow. For parents, it might be this: "I didn't hear you," right? What do you mean you didn't hear me? You were looking right at me. So that can kind of get us. As a supervisor at work, maybe it's, "I thought somebody else was doing it," right? They kind of put the blame on someone else. And so there are certain responses, maybe it's those, maybe it's something else, that can kind of get you worked up. I don't know if you've ever considered this though. Do you know that there is a response that gets God worked up? That kind of gets under his skin, so to speak. It's when God gives you a specific task or an assignment, a calling, and you refuse. That he makes it clear what he wants you to do, and you respond with, "I don't want to, I won't, I refuse." This makes God upset. As we continue in our series in the book of Exodus, we come to chapters 3 and 4, and in these chapters, we find the call of Moses. This call that he's going to get from the Lord is to be the one to deliver the people of Israel out of the bondage of slavery that they found themselves in for now 400 years. And as we go through this text this morning, Moses doesn't want to do it. The Lord comes to him with this calling, and he has questions, he has doubts, he makes excuses. And God is patient through all of that. But when Moses finally tells God, "No, find someone else, I don't want to do it," it makes God angry. But before we pile on Moses, we can do the same. See, Moses had a calling on his life, but so do you, so do I. If you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus has called you to serve him, to be involved in that assignment each of us has to help others find and follow Jesus. Now, when the Bible speaks of calling, we can think of it really in three ways. There is a call to salvation that is set before all of us, that we are called to put our trust in Jesus, the way that we kind of phrase it around here, to step over that line of faith or cross that line of faith and put your trust in Jesus. There's the call to sanctification. Now, that's kind of a churchy word, but it's a good word, and it simply means to grow and mature in your faith. And then lastly, there is a call to serve, that each of us has responsibilities as a husband, as a wife, at school, at work, whatever it may be. We have certain responsibilities, but there are also certain assignments and tasks that the Lord has for you. And it might be something that lasts maybe a few months or a couple years. It may be something that lasts many, many years. But the Lord has work for you to walk into. And so as we come to chapters 3 and 4, we find this calling of Moses speaks directly to each of our lives. Now, I want to look at it kind of in a couple different movements. The first movement is the Lord going to Moses, and he gives him, he really reveals himself, and he gives Moses his calling. But then we're going to look at the 5 responses that Moses has, again, with these kind of excuses and questions. He actually says no at one point. And then we're going to look at some important implications as we kind of wrestle with our own calling that the Lord has for us. So if you have chapter 3, look with me at verse 1. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Now, as we looked at last week, this is about the last place that Moses thought he would be. When he was a younger guy, he grew up in the household of Pharaoh, and so he had a very promising start to his life, but then through some different circumstances, he had to run for his life, and now for the last 40 years, he has been a shepherd. Now, the Egyptians, and he would have known this, they despised shepherds, and so this is the place that he finds himself in. And so now Moses is 80 years old. He finds himself in a place that I don't think he thought he would be. And I'm sure there were multiple times in his life where he was saying, "Is this it? Is this my life now?" But God is not done with Moses. In fact, in many ways, Moses' life is just about to get started. Look at verse 2. "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, all the ites, right? And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I mean, what an experience, right? I mean, Moses is just doing what he does every day. He's with the sheep, maybe the goats and all of this. And he sees this sight where this bush is on fire, but it's not being burned up. Now, there's lots of discussion with commentators of why he went over to this and what's the fire mean and all this. I think it's this simple. Moses was a guy, and this is how the Lord wanted to get his attention. There's just something about us guys, right, where fire kind of draws us in. I don't know, guys, if any of you have been struggling with this lately. We've had all sorts of Amazon boxes in our house, and I can't get rid of them fast enough. And so my brother, he lives out in the country. He has a burn barrel. I'm very jealous of this. And I told Lindsay and my wife, I said, I'm just so jealous. He just gets to burn these boxes and look at the fire. And she looked at me like, that would excite you? And I said, yes. God, ladies, we're pretty simple, right? There's not much going on up here, but I would just love to look at that fire. And so here's Moses. Something catches his eye. And as he approaches, he hears a voice. And as our text says, this voice was the angel of the Lord. Now notice, not an angel of the Lord, not Gabriel, not Michael, but the angel of the Lord. This is the Lord himself speaking to Moses. And so again, what an experience. What an announcement that God has heard the cries of his people and he wants Moses to be the one to lead them out. And you would think Moses would be excited, but he's not. So let's turn our attention to these five responses that Moses gives to God. Response number one, Moses says, who am I to do this? Look at verse 11. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt out, you will worship God on this mountain. That is Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. So Moses, he says, who am I? I wonder if in the back of Moses' mind, he was saying, yeah, sure, at one point in my life, I probably would have been this person. I probably would have been the guy to do this, but my time has passed. Moses is old now, right? He's thinking, again, my time has passed. But I also think Moses is wrestling with what happened 40 years before. He remembers the rejection. See, at time, 40 years prior, Moses went out to see the misery of his people. And one of the Egyptians was beating one of his people, and Moses steps in, and he rescues that guy. And Moses really thought that would be the spark, where he would be the leader to lead his people out. But yet the next day, when he goes to talk to them and kind of get their interest, and hey, let's do this, they end up rejecting Moses. Isn't it amazing how when we deal with failure and when we deal with rejection, how quickly it comes back to mind. That happened 40 years before, but that's the first thing I think that flashes in Moses' mind. Have you been there? I mean, there are things in my life where 20, 25 years ago, I messed up, I failed, I got rejected with something. And just like that, like it was yesterday, I call it to my attention. And so this is Moses. He's asking, who am I? But really what he is saying is, I've been rejected before. You've got the wrong guy. Look at response number two. Moses now says to God, who are you? Look at verse 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So Moses begins with who am I, but then he quickly turns his attention to, okay, God, who are you? In many ways, Moses is asking God for his business card. He wants a little more information. And God's response is to tell them, Yahweh has sent you. In most of our English translations, when you see Lord in all capitals, this is God's name, Yahweh. Now, it's tradition and kind of the scribes years and years ago to change it from Yahweh to the Lord out of respect and reverence, but that is what is being captured when you see the Lord in all capitals. And so Yahweh, it's God's personal name. It's his promise-keeping name. It shows that God is powerful. And so when he goes to Moses and he says, I am who I am, and then he shortens it to I am has sent you, what God is making clear is that he is the self-existent one. He is unchanging. He is powerful. And again, you would think this would be enough for Moses, but it's not. He has some more pushback. Turn to chapter 4, verse 1. We see this third response of Moses. He says, what if they don't believe me? Chapter 4, verse 1, we'll read all the way down through verse 9. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And so Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, he grabbed it by the tail and it became a staff again in his hand. Verse 5, this, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, his skin was leprous. It became white as snow. Now put it back in your cloak, said the Lord. So Moses put his hand back into the cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. The Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they will believe the second. But if they do not believe the two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. And so Moses, he gets these three signs. I wouldn't have been a fan like Moses was of the first one, right? He turns a staff into a snake, and so he takes off running. The second one is he basically puts his hand into his coat, and he pulls it out. It's leprous, puts it back in, it's restored. And then the other is turning water into blood. Now, why these three signs? Well, this is God showing his power, right? This is God demonstrating who he is, but this is also just kind of a small demonstration of the plagues that he will later bring on the Egyptians. Now, at this point, I mean, here's what Moses has. He has this burning bush, the Lord speaking from it. The Lord gives him these promises. He reveals his personal and powerful name, Yahweh. Moses is given these three signs, and you would say, okay, Moses, are you good? You ready to go now? But not quite. Look at verse or response number 4. What if I'm not good enough? Look at verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, he says, pardon your servant, Lord. And then he continues. He says, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Now, there's some debate here when Moses says that he's not eloquent, slow of speech, all this. There's kind of a couple different things that are mentioned by commentators. Some think maybe he's been away from Egypt so long that he's kind of forgotten the language or he's a little kind of clunky with it. And so he's not going to be that great going to Pharaoh and speaking in the Egyptian language. There are some that think Moses might have had some type of stuttering problem. And then there are those who just think that Moses wasn't all that great of a speaker. And so he's going to give all these speeches to Pharaoh. He just wasn't that great at it. But regardless what it actually is, what Moses is telling God is, I don't have enough ability. I'm not talented enough. But notice what the Lord says in response to that. He says, who is your creator? He says, who formed you? Who is the one that gives human beings the ability to hear and to speak? See, God is changing the focus from what Moses is saying, I can or can't do, to what God can do. God is saying, if I call you, I will equip you. I will empower you. That's a good word for all of us, because we can all be like Moses, say, I don't measure up. I don't have the talent, I don't have the skill, I don't have the ability. And God is saying, if I called you to that, I will equip you, I will empower you to fulfill that calling. But again, Moses, he's not convinced. And now we move to Moses' last response of, what if I don't want to? Look at verse 13. Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. During this whole conversation that Moses and God are having, Moses has one question after another. He has doubts, he has excuses, and the Lord has been patient through all that. But the Lord's patience kind of runs out, and he gets angry when Moses refuses. But even in that, God is so gracious. And he accommodates Moses by saying, okay, your older brother's coming. This is a big task. You two are gonna do this together. And so though Moses was reluctant and he pushed back over and over and even said no, he eventually says yes to his calling. Now, in our remaining time together, I want us to look at three important takeaways from this text about your calling. Now, one of the things I imagine that some of you are kind of wrestling with right now is you're saying, I'm not called like Moses. I'm not called like maybe a pastor or somebody else in ministry. And so you're kind of pushing back a little bit. But what each of us needs to understand is that if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a call to serve the Lord. That if you've crossed that line of faith and put your trust in Christ, that God wants you engaged in that activity of helping others find and follow Jesus. And that might be in your circle of influence, right? It may depend on the season of life that you find yourself in. If you're a young mother, for example, right? Or not maybe necessarily calling you, or the Lord may not be calling you to serve in all these other areas because he's called you to serve in your home. But for many of us, the Lord is saying, be engaged. Whether at church or in the workplace or maybe a different ministry, he wants you to be engaged in fulfilling that mission of helping others find and follow Jesus. And so we begin with this. The first takeaway from this passage that we find is that God's calling isn't all on you, okay? So God calls you, yes, but his calling isn't all on you. When God first appears to Moses with this call to serve as the one to deliver the people from bondage, Moses responds with, who am I? Now that's not a bad place to start, right? Who am I, Lord, to do this? There's a sense that's the proper response. But notice what God doesn't do. God doesn't say, well, remember Moses, how I miraculously saved you when you were a baby? He doesn't say, Moses, you spent 40 years getting the best education. Moses, you know the language. Now all of that was true, but that's not what God says to Moses. When Moses says, who am I? God says, I will. When Moses has doubts and doesn't think he has the ability and the gifts and the skills to do it, God says, I am. And this is the same for us, that we go to God with our questions, our doubts. Sometimes we even go with our excuses and we say, I'm not enough. I'm not skilled enough. I don't have enough talent. And God says, I will do it through you. God is telling you with your calling that he will give you the strength to fulfill the calling that he has. I want to speak to the teenagers. One of the things that was kind of pressed upon me this week as I was thinking through this calling and how the Lord is calling us to serve is for you in your high school or your middle school, the Lord may be calling you to talk to some friends and some classmates about Jesus. I mean, what a tremendous opportunity you have. And you might be kind of saying what Moses was saying. I don't speak all that great, kind of stumble over myself, but that's okay. See, the weight of that call that the Lord has for you is on the great I am, that he will empower you and strengthen you. He just wants your obedience. And so I would encourage you, take that step to follow after him in that. The second takeaway is this, that God's calling involves taking that step of obedience before we fully understand everything. You know, so often we want everything all clear and we want to know the path and all this stuff. And the Lord, he's told us some things about our calling, that he'll be with us and he'll empower us. When it came to Moses, he was given certain information that Pharaoh would resist. It'd be hard. He told him, though, the Lord told Moses that there would be success and they would come to this very mountain to worship the Lord. But there was so much that was unknown. Moses didn't know how long it would take. He didn't know the intensity. He didn't know the pushback that he would get from his own people. But yet the Lord was telling Moses, take that step of obedience and then take another step and another step. One of my favorite passages, favorite verses, is found in Psalm 119, 105. And we read this. It says, your word, this is God's word. We can apply it to his calling. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, when you hear that word lamp, don't think of some like big flashlight that could light up this entire room. It would have been this clay lantern. It would have only shined out a few feet. And so the image is this. That as you're on that path, you can only see a few feet out in front of you, but you keep going after the Lord. You keep doing what he has called you to do. And so we can have questions again. We can struggle. We can have doubts. But the Lord is saying, trust me. I'll give you just enough light that you need to continue to pursue me and to continue to pursue the calling that I have for you. And so that's our call to serve. But I want to apply this also to that call of salvation. Right? Maybe you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. First of all, we're so glad you're here. But one of the things that you might be wrestling with right now, or maybe you've been coming the last few weeks and you're saying, if I become a Christian, right, if I cross that line of faith, what's it gonna mean? What's God gonna require of me? What changes are gonna be required in my life? And God is saying to you right now, trust me. Trust me in this. I love you so much that I sent my son to die on the cross for you. That when you cross that line of faith and put your trust in Jesus, you are now in God's family forever. And so we don't have all the answers, but God is saying to each of us, trust me, pursue me, take that step of obedience with the calling that I have for your life. The third takeaway is this, that God's calling is bigger than you. Right? It goes beyond just you and me. Moses, he's had so much resistance, but he finally says yes. And it's just amazing all the ways that the Lord uses him. And he was obviously a great influence on that current generation, but also generations to come, even our own generation. See, when Moses said yes, God used him then, but also to bless future generations. And so here's one of the things that we have to ask ourselves as we wrestle with our own calling. It's this question here, how will fulfilling your calling impact someone today, but also generations to come in finding and following Jesus? Right, you answer that call. How will it bless someone today, but also future generations? Right, that question, that was so relevant, given that we're 175 years, right? We're celebrating that today. And so with that, over kind of the last few months, myself and some others, we've been going through some old documents that the church has, and there's not a ton of things, but one of the things that we came across was from 1968. And at that time, they were about to enter into this project. They were trying to reach more people with the gospel, and they included a poem called The Bridge Builder, and I thought it applied so well today. Here's this poem. This is an old man going on a lone highway, came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said. There followed after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. Said, oh man, he crossed safely to the other side. And he builds this bridge not for himself, but for that person right then, but also for future people that would use it. And so again, when it comes to our calling, both individually and as a church, it goes beyond just us today. That yes, we want to bless those in our community today. But also when we answer the call that the Lord has for us, when we take that step of obedience, it will bless future generations. And so what is set before us is, will we say yes? Will we say yes to what the Lord has called each of us to do? Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for a moment? When it comes to your relationship with the Lord, where are you at with the three different callings? Right? If you've not yet put your trust in Jesus, the Lord is calling you today to know his son, Jesus Christ. If that is you, would you make that decision to turn from your sin and to put your trust in who Jesus is and what he has done for you in his life, his death, his rising from the dead? We're each called to grow in our faith. So maybe there's some sin in your life that you need to confess. Would you do that now? But as we think on this call of Moses and our own call to serve the Lord, if it's not clear, and it may not be clear to you yet, that's okay. But know that you have a calling. God has assignments and tasks for you. And so ask for clarity and wisdom. But I think many of us, we know what the Lord is calling us to, but we're hesitant to do it. We have questions, we have excuses. Would you trust the Lord? Would you take that step of obedience and then another step? And as you do so, the Lord will make more clear what he's called you to do and how he wants to use you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for 175 years of your faithfulness. Lord, as we're drawn to this passage, Lord, that reveals who you are, the great I am. Lord, 175 years is a long time, but Lord, you are the self-existent one. Lord, you are powerful. Lord, help us to remember that. Lord, in the struggles that we have in just day-to-day life, Lord, as we wrestle with the calling that you have for us, Lord, help us to trust you, to be obedient, to know who you are. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you for what you've done for us at the cross and that you're alive today. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. And we ask all this in your name. Amen.